which is Mark chapter 12, verse 30 to 31. I hope you felt last Sunday was helpful as we tried to sort of paint a picture. Those who just came in the evening or were serving in kids' club, sorry that you missed what we did in the morning. We said a few things in the morning this year in the way that we didn't last year. We weren't able to fit it all into the evening. But you can listen online if you want to for the sort of overall sense of direction for the three sites. And particularly within that, I sort of announced that this was the year of increase. That's what we've sort of called this year. As you know, we sort of have a little phrase each year that tries to capture what we're doing each year. And we felt this was a year of increase, and increase in eldership, increase in leadership, increase in people added to the church, increase of things in the spirit, increase in our reach as a church. So that was the name that we've given the year, and hopefully what comes out will reflect that in many ways. We also looked at the Good Shepherd. I'm just reminding you now, you've got to remember a whole week ago, because I just feel the Good Shepherd is a note for us for this year. I think He's leading us, and we want to hear his voice, don't we, as a people? We want to know his goodness. We want to deal with any suspicion that he's not good, as Oswald Chambers said in that quote, because he is a good shepherd leading us, and he's leading us to green pastures, to places that are fruitful, places that are going to bring health and vitality to us. And we also feel he's leading us on as in our sort of evolution of multi-sites, as we sort of talked a bit about that. We set a vision for 3 years ago to extend our tents, as it were, to set up some new sites. And we just feel God's leading us to the next phase. We're carrying on like that through this year, but through 2020 and beyond that, we just feel God is expanding our vision, increasing our vision to be a family of churches and sites and emerging sites gathering together for effective mission, getting the benefits of what you can do locally and the benefits of what you can do in scale as well. And we're very excited about that. And I think there is that sense that God is calling us to care for input into some other churches as well. And we feel humbled by that. We feel it's time for Aldershot to become autonomous as a church, as it were. It's going to thrive better like that and begin to reach out into Farnborough. And it was all in the context of us being like an apostolic people. Is that right? Remember? I need a little bit of feedback today because it's sort of... because we're on the move. God's people are always on the move, always going, always being witnesses to the utterly good shepherd who leads us. And so there's always going to be change and development. God's people are always on a move. Read the scriptures. You can't help but see that. Things are always on the move. But having painted the bigger picture last week, I felt I wanted to go and visit all the sites. And I'm starting here because I'm going to meet then the folks in Borden next week and then Aldershot the week after, and to sort of speak into their situations. But I just felt I wanted to start in Farnham because you've done so well in Farnham. We've done so well in Farnham. We felt, didn't we, that the Spirit was saying to us in one of our prayer meetings that we should extend our tent. It was from a verse, if you remember, from Isaiah 54. Enlarge the place of your tent. Stretch out your tent curtain wide. Do not hold back. Lengthen your cords, strengthen your stakes. That was what we felt God was saying to us. And we've tried to respond to that in our multi-site strategy to achieve that extension. But you know what? When we started, I hadn't fully appreciated how much effort it takes to stretch the tent and lengthen the cords and strengthen the stakes. It takes a lot of effort, hasn't it? And when we set up Borden and Aldershot sites, it was a cost to Farnham. And we sent friends, didn't we? We supported the sites financially. There's been less people in Farnham to go on the rotas. There's been my energy spread over three sites. There's been a greater complexity as we've tried to work out ministries across the sites. There has been a cost to us, particularly in Farnham. And I just felt I wanted to say thank you, really, because for a couple of years, it's been hard work for us in Farnham. Others have gone, and it's all very exciting what's happening in other places. And yet Farnham has remained faithful and has pressed in and got on and and been a blessing. And I really felt that God wanted to say thank you as well, and to encourage us that, particularly in Farnham, that he is pleased with us. And I just, that's all I wanted to say, really. However, I have got a load of other pages. Because I think although it's been a cost, there have been great benefits too. There have been greater area reached by the church. We've responded to what we felt God was saying to us. There's been more saved. There's been a critical mass with bigger events. Greater security for our extensions as we've tried to set them up. So we've not held back, but we have tried to extend the tent. I love the way the message puts it. It puts it like this. Clear lots of ground for your tents. Make your tents large. Spread out. Think big. Use plenty of rope. Drive tent pegs deep. You're going to need lots of elbow room for your growing family. It's a great, great translation, that, the message. And so I want to say thank you for your faithfulness, your good-heartedness. I think when we sent Aldershot off, we sent so many people off. In Farnham, we lost our mojo a bit, didn't we? But do you know what? You pressed on. I'm so proud, so grateful for what we did in Farnham, for your hard work. And do you know what? God is pleased. And he wants to say thank you, I think. We'd say thank you. He's pleased with us. On my sabbatical, as I was praying and seeking his face, I just felt his delight is upon us in Farnham. And so I wanted to particularly say that at the beginning of what I wanted to share, because in a sense, it's a sense of loss, wasn't it, when we sent off folks, when people go. There was a sense of grief, actually, I think, amongst us. And over my sabbatical, I was sort of reflecting on Joe, my son. That's Joe. Most of you won't have met him. He grew up here in Farnham. But he's married to Phoebe now. They got married a couple of years ago. And I was reflecting on our journey as a family, really. That Joe, it was really sad when Joe left our family. And it cost us a bit too. But do you know what? I am thrilled and wouldn't have it any other way. Because he is now set up home in Winchester. He's married to Phoebe. It's our eldest son growing up. It's what we always wanted. Hay and I have always said that our kids are on loan to us. They are with us for a season, where we want to prepare them and train them. But then they will leave and set up their own homes. That's how it works. We've always felt our kids were on loan for a season. But do you know what? Joe is still my son. And he's still part of my family. And we still want to meet him and encourage him and celebrate with him, with his joys, and shed tears with the difficult times. Because that's how families work, isn't it? At Christmas, he came, and I have my family back again. But I noticed, as I gathered all my siblings for an event with my mum and dad, that it was a moment for them where they had all their family together. And yet we all went our different ways again. So there's times, isn't there, where families come together, and there's times where people need to go and set up families. And I just found it as an illustration that as friends have gone to gather folk in Borden and Aldershot, you know what? They still feel part of my family. They still feel part of Jubilee. And so we still want to continue being together, doing things together, where it's better to do things together. Still benefits of that and yet also just so proud and so thrilled that people are doing their own thing and being relevant to their own communities that they're in and being able to do things in a way that reaches out to their communities. And so things are evolving. The family is increasing. The tent is increasing. But it's not about the tent. It's about the family, isn't it? It's about people. And do you know what God's heart is for us in Farnham now? To grow and emerge. And that's what I want to share with you a bit. So today I want to just give a little sort of review of 2018 and give a trajectory for 2019. But then I want to root it in a scripture that I really feel God would have in our souls this year and the coming years. So as we reflect on 2018, I've just been amazed how much we do. I can't even communicate it all in a time like this. But I feel so thrilled at the journey that the Good Shepherd has been taking us on. I've loved our Sunday gatherings. I've loved to worship and to submit to the Word. I've loved the series that we've done, the joy of generosity at the beginning of last year, if you remember. Nearly 18 grand that was given. I just am so amazed and grateful that people give so highly in Jubilee and we're able to do so much as a result. £1,000 increase in our monthly giving. It bucks the trend of churches. And it's because God's favour is on us and you're so generous. We did a session, little mini-series on breaking through in worship. We did the Just 10 series, if you remember, looking at the Old Testament 10 Commandments, a modern take on it. I love journeying through 1 Peter. I've loved our journey together through the scriptures. I've loved the joint services, Angela, Kem coming, if you remember that, our Easter and Christmas services. God's blessing is on us. We had more guests at our Christmas carol service this year than we've ever had for any event in 18 years. I mean, God's grace is with us. God's favour is on us. Our kids' work, as I reflect on that, what we do each Sunday, it's phenomenal. The kids have such a hoot. They love it. It is wonderful. It is so thrilling to see the next generation emerging. I love Hayley comes back and we have lunch together. And she says, we have a little testimony time in Glaze and the kids tell us about their week with Jesus. I tell you what, it blesses me just hearing what the kids say. Parents, you should ask your kids because they say some amazing things. So bless a little the story of one of our little kids in their playground wanting to get kids together to tell Bible stories. I mean, primary school kids. I mean, this is cool. There's a generation emerging amongst us that is so exciting. And it's so exciting to see. I've loved us developing all the Luminate stuff with Laura. She's done such a wonderful thing to try and bring an inclusivity into what we do for those who've got particular needs. I've loved looking at the youth grow and develop, inviting their friends on Fridays, the connect, engage, making world-changing disciples. It's thrilling that we have young people in the church, isn't it? I tell you what, I regularly get pastors asking me, how do you keep young people? And I say, well, because they're so great. And we do so many good things for them. Jab on, preteen girls, there's so much to go. Week in, week out, there is stuff that you lead and serve in, most of you, that is building the kingdom of God and building his church. And God would say, thank you. And he would say, keep going. We've continued to reach out, haven't we, in Farnham? With the Chantries Project, with the carnival, film nights, quiz nights, Chatterbox, Kids Club. The best alpha we've had for years. A whole group stopping meeting just so they could serve dinner. I mean, it's been a joy to see what has happened. And we've had these wonderful gathering events. 72 at Spring Away, 330 at the Woods, a couple of people baptized at the Woods. I mean, life is here, isn't it, amongst us? It's good to remember it. 70, New Day and West Point, 65 on a youth weekend, 75 on a ladies' weekend. I mean, God is at work amongst us. And we have led out in that in Farnham in many ways. Week in, week out, growth group leaders are caring and praying and worshipping and having fun and learning together. I mean, there is life. in our prayer meetings. There's such a sense of the presence of God, our weeks of prayer. God is with us, people, isn't he? And he has been with us, hasn't he? And he continues to be with us as we go into this next year. There's so many other ways that we're community together. You know, I've loved it that the 20s and 30s have started gathering together. The men's breakfast, the worship practice, parenting with purpose, wonderful sessions we have with that. Even coffee at St. Arbuck's. There's a little group that meets there after church, I hear. I've never been. There's all sorts of stuff behind the scenes that go on. GDPR, I mean, big deal last year. Trustees, bookkeeping, so many things go on to make church happen. And I am so grateful. And God would say, well done. Thank you. And he appreciates what we're doing. Because he's placed us in a town that I think his heart is on at this time. I think that God's favor is on Farnham at this time. And we are placed in Farnham at this time. So many Jubilees involved with signposts and cohesion. Amber heads it up. 5,000 people, kids impacted through the primary and schools, secondary schools. I mean, this is unusual, okay? But it's the favor of God that is on Farnham at this time. We support Farnham Christian Community Trust. You know, I don't know if you know, but half of the trustees of FCCT are Jubilee people. I don't know if we say a lot about that. Judy and Andy make wonderful contribution into that world. And through it, I've seen a vision of churches collaborating on projects that make such a difference. Food Bank, it's a Jubilee person. Farnham Money Advice, our people are involved with that. Farnham Parenting, Bridget heads up. The Bereavement Cafe, all these projects that churches do together are facilitated because Jubilee do stuff and put volunteers in, have people leading it, and you know what, are making such a difference in our community with the vulnerable and the needy. We mustn't lose sight of what we do together, because what we do together is actually staggering when you look at our size, and it's because you're such a faithful, loyal, committed bunch, and I'm so grateful. You see, we've led out on bringing churches together to pray in Farnham. Love in Action, 300 people praying, dozen churches. I mean, somebody this week spoke to me about that and said, up from Fleet, and said, look, Sean, can you come and speak to the Fleet churches about what is happening in Farnham? I hear churches are praying together. You think, well, I'll go and do that. Because something special is happening in our area that we need to really catch hold of, because we're in the middle of it. And it's our generation that is making these differences. We've led out on bringing churches together in mission too. The Confident Workshops, Rethink, major event in the autumn in our town, because God's blessing is on the town. The Ocker folks do missions all over the place, and they said there's something different about Farnham. Churches are working together. We don't do that. We don't find that in many places. I mean, God is at work in our area, and we're part of it. When we started Jubilee 17 years ago, I think it was Duncan Weir who ran Pioneer at that time, had done some research and couldn't find anybody in any church in the previous year who'd come to faith. The church leader done some research, and I thought, that's so wrong. People should be coming to faith in our town. But you know what? Now all the churches are reporting people coming to faith. God is at work. He's moving in our area. And we want to see that, don't we? We want to have eyes to see it. We want to have hearts that are open to it, because God is working in our area in ways, I don't know why he's working particularly in our area, but he is doing things that just aren't happening in other areas. Rethink was the biggest mission in 20 years. And people saved and added into churches. We're on the move, people. God's church is on the move in this area. Do you remember Angela's prophetic word about the lion and the lamb, and it was time for the lion to roar a couple of years back? The lion is roaring in our area. Do you remember the prophecy about the wheat field? We've had more people saved last year than we've had for a few years, because God is at work. He's speaking to us, and he wants us to know that he is with us and that he is about a mighty work in our area, in Farnham. On Friday night, I joined others at an event around mental health, and Jeremy Hunt kindly came to it. He's foreign secretary now, but he had been health secretary, as you know. Other professionals in the panel. But you know what? It was met in St. Andrew's Church, and what I thought was so significant was that the very first message that was spoken was by mate Mick Brooks, who runs Waverley Abbey House, CWR, and he brought a theological perspective and encouraged the church to play its part in this important area at our time. And I thought, that's what the church has always done for centuries. And our time's come back again. He said, in professionals involved, obviously in these sorts of areas, we need wisdom in them. But do you know what? A lot of people just need to be listened to. They need community. They need a place where they can belong, a place where they can come. And do you know what? God is rising his church. God is touching his church at this time. And he is touching Farnham in ways that just excite me. His hands on this area. Many of you know I'm a director at CWR Waverley Abbey House, and just on our doorstep, hundreds are being trained as counsellors, psychotherapists, and to master's degree. Now, I mean, it's phenomenal the work that happens there. It's a delight to be involved with it. But do you know what? I was talking to Steve, another friend of mine, chairs the board there, and he was in Singapore. He's talking to a significant sort of world-known Christian leader who wanted to talk to him and said, look, there's four internationally renowned centres for prayer around the world. And I think Farnham, there should be a fifth one. And you think, crumbs. God's hand is on Farnham in mighty ways. I don't know why. Maybe it's because there's been Christians praying since 600 AD in our area. I don't know. Maybe it's the heritage we have. Maybe it's just that Juliet prays for years. I don't know. And other faithful saints, Doreen and Keng. I mean, so many praying for years. But do you know what? God is on the move. And I want us to get caught up in that and have a conviction that God's hand is on our town. There's lots of talk, isn't there, about the church in decline. And in the West, the church has been shrinking. And yet, do you know what? God's hand and favour rests on Farnham, I'm convinced, more and more. And he's chosen to bring us here. And that's for a really good reason. See, God's heart for Farnham in this next decade, I think, is beyond even my wildest imagination. And I've got a wild imagination about what God could do. I think he has got things to happen in Farnham that are significant. For me, that verse that we're looking at with our gift day, let's catch up here. Oh, there we are. Oh, I haven't got it. I thought I had it. There we are. Psalm 150. May the Lord cause you to increase, both you and your children. May you be blessed by the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. I think is on God's heart. His heart is for his church, not just us, but his whole church in Farnham, to flourish and to increase at this time. There's no doubt in my mind that his hand is on Farnham in a particular way. And you know, I more and more am praying that revival will come here. I was tutored by Selwyn, who used to say, or taught me, instilled in me, you know, that you can't just make revival happen. God makes revival happen. We're not in control of that. But what we can do is pray for it and be ready for it. And that is God's call on us, to pray for it, to be ready for it. And that's why we need to continue to extend our tent, continue to develop elders, continue to develop leaders, continue to stir ourselves in faith for this year of increase, because God is at work amongst us. And he's at work in our town in significant ways. And his blessing is coming. So I'm thrilled for Aldershot and I'm thrilled for Borden. I love it that they're reaching into their areas that are very different areas from here. So they've got to do things differently. They've got to approach it in a different way. And we want to continue to support them and secure them and to be the missional communities that we want them to be. In many ways, following the example that was set here in Farnham. I look forward to that continuing, our partnering together continuing, so that we can be effective witnesses together. But do you know what? It's time for Farnham to shine. It's time for this congregation to grow and develop. And you know why I think that? I think it because I've got a real problem in Farnham. There's so many good people. And in other places, you know, you've got two or three really good people and the rest. Here, we have two or three. No. Do you know what? God has brought in our midst such wonderful people. And it's for purpose. Because he is wanting to increase what is happening here. He's wanting to develop what is happening here. He's wanting to bless us. And it's time for us as a congregation here in Farnham to rise up and to be like a mother church to these other congregations, other works that are happening. So I believe we're really entering a season of increase and growth for this site. And God is grateful for the labor, but he's wanting to birth something magnificent. So just a few highlights for our next year, just to map out just a few things. It will be very short on detail for all those who like detail, but it will be on the website and in Church Suite and in your emails every month, week, and in the PowerPoints and in the notices. And so don't moan when you don't know what's going on, because we actually communicate quite a lot. But anyway, oh, a little bitter root. Let's deal with that. No, this is just the headlines. We're going to, you know, we're still going to meet on Sundays. I think we feel the next few Sundays, we're going to look at some of the core reasons why we exist. It's going to be exciting. We've got Angela coming then in March, as we've said. We've got then a mini-series on community and fellowship that I think is going to inspire us. We've got Easter then, and then we feel we want to do a little series across the sites, this is going to be, on sexuality. Such an important area for us as Christians to have some clear thinking about. So we're doing a little mini-series on sexuality. It scares the living daylights out of us. But anyway, as we've reflected, you know what? We as Christians have got something really important to say, rooted in the scriptures. There's going to be lots that's very specific to Farnham then over the summer, and then we're looking at 1 Timothy through the autumn. That's the sort of direction that we're going in. We're going to do 4 joint services plus West Point through this year. And you know what? I think it's going to be a great time. I feel very excited about it. I think last year somebody came with, brought a word to the elders just about moving across the A31, actually it was, and we just reflected on it and prayed and felt they had a sense of our work on the chantries was changing, and our focus should be around Wadham Christian Centre. And we thought, oh, we need to think about that and just understand what God might be saying in that. And you know what? It's been so interesting to see St Andrew's church that has been... God, this is recorded, isn't it? Not so connected in, has got some great leaders now and is emerging as a church in this town in exciting ways. And they've got a heart for the chantries. John Morris, who's the curate there, ex-church army guy, wants to work there, has come to Sarah and said, look, how can we partner? How can we work? What are you doing there? What can we do there? We're in a conversation with them. We feel, though, that there's something about Weydon Christian Centre in this next year that we need to focus on. I want to refresh it. It's looking a bit shabby, isn't it? It's looking a bit dead. The sign outside hasn't got anything on it. But you know what? I want it to look alive and vibrant. I want it to have better signage, better furniture, better lighting. I want it to be somewhere we're proud to take people. I want to see it as an environment where people can meet with the living God. I saw a taste of it through Alpha. We had a group come, Anna and the team, transformed Weydon Christian Centre every week for the Alpha course, made it into a little home. And you know what? It created an environment for people to find God. And at the end session, one of them said, you know what, I've never felt I've been to a place and felt that I felt so secure, so loved, so unjudged. And it's been a delight just to come to faith in this context. I thought, isn't that wonderful? And then it went round the room. I felt this was a secure place. I thought, you know what? I'm sure how we made the room look was part of that. It was also the people who were leading it, Tia and Lindsay, and just the atmosphere, the whole thing, the cooking, the fact that people knew that people were giving up. Now, Catherine, you know, runs whatever, however many thousands of nurses up in London. And was it 7,000? How many did you run? 6,500 nurses in hospital in London, gets on the train and turns up at Weydon Christian Centre and cooks a meal for Alpha. You think, what outstanding. And when the Alpha people twigged that was what was happening, they said, why do people do this? Why do people, I mean, it wasn't just Catherine, there was a whole team of people. And she'll tell me off that there was loads of people in the kitchen and loads of other people. And one day she got stuck on a train and it still happened. But do you know what? People, it spoke to people that folks were willing to make an effort. And that was a joy to see. And so we want to see Weydon Christian Centre become a place that is conducive to what we're wanting to see. And as the teams got together, there's a whole program of stuff now that we're looking at to use Weydon Christian Centre more effectively for witness, some monthly outreach events, creative things going on. Yvain's looking at Kids Club and how we can refresh that and do that in different ways to reach families, to get the Blaze kids connected with other kids, their friends, and bringing them along to church. How do we begin to reach out? It's going to be an exciting year. And I think the next 5 years has got some amazing things for us here in Farnham. I think I can see a training hub developing to serve the other churches that we talk about and to make wholehearted disciples. Because you know what? We've got something to bring to other churches. I hadn't really seen it until I started speaking to some other churches. But now I realize that God has planted something in Jubilee to be a blessing to others. I'd love to see in the end a whole new building with training rooms and meeting rooms and counselling rooms and a coffee shop and space for our own and other inter-church ministries in the town, a place full of life and training and healing and prayer and equipping and lives transformed. I'd love to see a hub that is serving thousands. The go-to place for people in Farnham who need help. Because, you know, we've got a saviour, a good shepherd who wants to help people, who wants to heal people, who wants to set them back on their feet. Do you know what? I see our major events have evolved this last few years. When you look at Spring Away, it was our little thing we used to do, and then the team started inviting other churches to it. It was like a little prophetic sign of what God's got for us, I think. The youth weekend did the same thing. I think that's a little prophetic thing we're catching up on. The woods will continue to evolve. But do you know what? God is at work amongst us. The flourish stuff that goes with the women, it's going to be wonderful. Rick gave me an email about Invictus for our men. Eventually, we've come back to doing some stuff for men. It would be wonderful to see men and women strong and confident through this year, learning and growing and in fellowship together. Had a meeting this week about our international links and just how what we do with those. And then there's all the stuff in the back room that's going to be changing through this year. We've got lots of staff having babies, and that's great. But has lots of consequences that we have to work through. The trustees have got loads to do this next year, so pray for them. Can I just pause there and just say I want to particularly thank Peter, who's sitting at the back, who's been a trustee for 4 years, is it? And has felt it's time to stop, but you would be unaware of this, behind the scenes, tons for the church. He's put all of our accounting on the cloud. He faithfully does all the accounts each time when the trustees gather together. He's there giving all the information. We need to honour Peter as he transitions out of being a trustee. And so I'd love to give him a big clap. Peter has, you know, thank you, Peter. You've been like a right hand helping us as we go through this whole transition, and all in many ways that people be unaware of. Peter has been outstanding to us. And so thank you, Peter. We really, really appreciate you and are grateful for that. But I also would like to say that Liam has become a trustee. So Liam, put your hand up. And Peter and Liam have spent a lot of time doing this transition over this last period, but Liam has stood up. He said, "What can I do?" And we said, "You're an accountant and you've been a trustee of another church. How about being a trustee?" And do you know what? It's been wonderful working with Liam just in these last couple of weeks, looking at new ideas about doing things as well, and just thrilled to see that transition. Jubilee people are amazing. They are just amazing. And all these things are happening for a purpose, because God is with us. I want to talk to the growth group leaders in the next few weeks about some ideas about how we might evolve our growth groups in this next year. Because do you know what? God is wanting to prepare us, because increase is coming. Amen? Are you getting my excitement? Because I feel that's what I wanted to communicate. More than the details, which we'll come to, I wanted to communicate the sense I have of God with us and the Good Shepherd leading us. And particularly in Farnham at this time, I think God's blessing is upon us. And I'm really excited about that. But I want to finish with one note that I feel God would say to us as we go into all that we have coming before us. And really, it is our motto. Love in God, loving others, loving life. And that core verse that has shaped us from the beginning: love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength, and love your neighbour as yourself. I feel that 2029 is going to be a revolutionary year. Is it 2019? What did I say? 1920. It's because this thing was pinging off my ear. Blame something else, eh? I think God is about a revolution in our town, but it's a revolution of love. And we've got to have that deep in our hearts. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind. That's the first and the greatest command. Second is this: love your neighbour as yourself. It's what our motto is, isn't it? And God would remind us of it at the beginning of this year. I want Jubilee this year for us to be excellent lovers. I do. In the way that you're thinking of about some of you. But all of us. Because actually that's what he wants his people to be. Those who are full of love. Those who are in a revolution of love. Those who are a community that sees the kingdom of light advancing and the kingdom of darkness on retreat, because love is at the core. Because love is at the core of what we do, isn't it? Love is at the core of everything. Love is our motto. Love is the great command. It doesn't say obey. It doesn't say serve. It says love God with all of your heart, all of your soul, all of your mind. And love is a word ringing with relationship, isn't it? Not duty, not just because we have to, but because we want to. It's what we've always said, isn't it, as a people? And yet love is robbed these days of its meaning so much, isn't it, in our culture? Sentimentalized or sexualized or just all about self-centeredness. Songwriters, poets, philosophers, novelists, ethicists, scientists, sociologists, anthropologists, filmmakers all seek to understand it in different ways. But do you know what? The Bible tells us what love is, doesn't it? And we have got something to say to our world about love. And how I want us in all that we're doing to be motivated by love. Motivated by the sort of love the Good Shepherd offers us. Love the Lord your God with all of your heart, all your soul, all your might. And love your neighbour as yourself. Isn't that our motto? Isn't that what we want to be as a people? God is love, isn't he? 1 John 4:8 says this, God is love. Full stop. God is love. That's the bottom line. Any reflection that we have, anything that we're doing, starts with that idea that God is love. We get our wonderful, rich understanding of what love is from the Trinity, don't we? God, love found most perfectly in the Godhead. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Beloved is the word the Synoptics Gospels reserve for the Father's love for Jesus. Mark 1, if you want to look it up. Jesus' love for the Father motivates him to obey him. John 14. The Spirit exhibits the same loving attitude to the other members of the Trinity, if you read John 16. There's this perfect circle of other-centered, sacrificial, giving love in the Godhead. It's the opposite of self-centered, self-seeking, getting type of love that so often we see peddled in our world. The love of the Father means he sends the Son. John 3:16, isn't it? The Son's love for the sinner led him to his own self-giving on the cross. Galatians 2. The gift of the Spirit is further evidence of the divine love poured out into our hearts. Romans 5:5, it says. See, before there was anything, before anything was created, before there was a big bang, or before anything, there was love. Not nothing, but an always existing love. That was there. Not a power, but a relationship that seeks to give itself to others in love. That's what spun the universe into being. Before there was anything, there wasn't even doctrine and all that sort of stuff. There was loving relationships between members of the Trinity. It is what the genius of our faith is, because it's the truth. And out of that loving context in the Trinity, the universe was spun into being. So it's not about selfish genes or the survival of the fittest. What spun the universe into being is all about other-centered, sacrificial, self-giving love. That is what powers the universe. And we've got a glimpse of it. Isn't that cool? It's the genius of our faith, loving God, loving others, loving ourselves. And that's the note for 2019, loving God. A new commandment I give, Jesus says. Loving God. Not a commandment in the sense of God ordering us to love him. Doesn't work like that, does it? I can't order Hayley to love me. If I do that, that is not going to go well. Her love for me is in response to me. Other way round too. See, it's more as we, it's more that when we dwell on the love of God and his good shepherding of us, his utter goodness, we can't but love him. That's how it works. Our love's not coerced, but it's a spontaneous response to the gratitude of God for his amazing grace. 1 Corinthians 5 says, Christ's love compels us. That's why we do what we do, why we serve in the way that we do, why we give our money the way we do, why Catherine, having left at 5:30 in the morning, done a whole day's work managing staff, turns up at the Wading Christian Centre to cook a load of people dinner. It's love, isn't it, that does that? So it's loving God. Wholehearted devotion is a response to God's prior love to us. 1 John 4 says this. This is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Isn't that wonderful? That's what we've got caught up in, Jubilee. And then it goes on, isn't it, into our second stanza, the love for others. It goes on, dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. You up for that? These two verses sort of capture the four distinctive features of Christian love. It's theocentric. The origin is in of genuine love lies in God's gracious initiative. It's Christocentric. It's in the Son that we see the focal point of the Father's love. God so loved the world that he sent his Son. It's active and sacrificial. It's reaching its peak in the death of Christ. He dies for us. That's love. And it demands a imitative response to those who are its beneficiaries. We want to love one another and love our community and love our neighbours. And that's what God's calling us to. Amen? That was really a good amen. I'm liking it. So, for Christians, love is God-centred word, describing the Father's nature, 1 John 4, the Son's example, John 15, and the Spirit's fruit, Galatians 5:20. And don't we want to see the Spirit bringing fruit of love amongst us? The Spirit is on us, people, to be lovers of each other, lovers of our community, lovers of the needy, lovers of the kids and the young people, lovers in the right way, knowing the right sort of love. It's a holy thing. That's what church is about, brothers and sisters together. Love's practical, not sentimental. If you read 1 John 3, it's heartfelt and sincere. If you read Romans 12, it's got evangelistic power because outsiders who see the love of God's people are drawn to that love that we are imbibing in. John 13, if you read that, love protects unity, encourages growth, it binds believers together in purpose. It's how a body's built up. Love is what it's about. And so as we go into this exciting season, this amazing sense of blessing upon us, do you know what? Love is a key note for us this year. Do you want to be part of a church like that? I mean, if you want to be part of a church that's unloving, that's really weird. So you sort of have to say yes, don't you?
But we want to be a church, don't we, that is a loving community, a loving church. We're not perfect. We mess it up. But we want to be that, and we want to ask God for that this year. Just finally, it's an interesting bit, isn't there, that we love others as we love ourselves. Do you know what? That's a profound statement. It's a time to love ourselves. Some find that hard for all sorts of reasons, but it is time for us as children of God to know how much we're loved and to love ourselves. Love ourselves in the right way. Kierkegaard said, the command to love thyself means love thyself in the right way. So pregnant woman best exhibits care for a child when she takes care to safeguard her own health. We can love others, but we've got to love ourselves in it as well. We can take self-love to mean self-centeredness or self-assertion or selfishness, and that gets us into difficulty, I think. However, when we see self-love as a means to self-respect and self-esteem and self-acceptance, you know what? I think we're beginning to get a taste of the love of God. And it's my prayer this term that as we seek God in prayer, that not only do we love him more deeply, not only do we love others more deeply, but that in a profound way and a right way, we love ourselves more deeply as well. Tim Keller, one of my heroes, has written a wonderful little book that I've recommended many times called The Freedom of Self-Forgetfulness. And he says that, you know, there's too much self-esteem, and those with too little self-esteem end up getting into difficult places. But the Christian way points to a different way. And he says this. He says, the thing we should remember from meeting a truly gospel humble person is how much they seem to be totally interested in us. Isn't that wonderful? Because the essence of gospel humility is not thinking less of yourself or thinking more of yourself, but thinking of myself less. That's a profound statement that rings about love. I've got a whole sermon on that, and I was going to preach, but I'll do that another day, because it is so important that we love God and we love others out of a good place. And that's why we want to make disciples that are full of clarity about their identity as children of God. Disciples that are healed and restored. That's what the Good Shepherd wants to do. Wants to get us into a place where there's a confident humility in us. Not an arrogance and not a down on our dumpsness, but a confident humility in us. Because as his people have a confident humility and are loving, we can do amazing things with the power of God. And I'm excited about it. So let me finish with this. 1 Corinthians 13. Love is patient, love is kind, it doesn't envy, doesn't boast, it's not proud, it's not rude, it's not self-seeking, it's not easily angered, it keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Hayley helped me see that this more clearly, this passage that's so familiar, isn't it? Sorry, I'm just smiling because I read in my notes here, it says in brackets, she's a great lover, but I just thought I wasn't going to read that bit out. But she is in all sorts of ways. But she pointed it out to me this when we were looking at this once upon a time, that there are a number of positive things to do and negative things to stop doing. And you know what? I'd love you this week to reflect on this nature of love. And what are the positive things that you're going to start doing in this next year? And what are the negative things that you're going to stop doing? Because you know what, as we rise up as a loving people who love God, love others, love life, love ourselves appropriately, God is going to pour his blessing because he's got stuff for us to do. Amen? Let's stand, shall we?